Happy New Year, and welcome to the special edition podcast presented by Naxos in celebration of Black History Month. My name is Ashley Jackson, and I'll be your host for this program. I recently celebrated my first Mother's Day. On that rainy Sunday in Harlem, I started thinking about my own musical mothers. My mother and grandmother came to mind, of course, but so did composers like Margaret Bonds and Florence Price, the harpist Alice Coltrane, and pianist Hazel Scott, who paved the way for my generation of performers to do the work that we do. This podcast will feature the music of Margaret Bonds and Florence Price. Born in Chicago in 1913, Bonds grew up in a nurturing environment in which she could develop her musical talents. Her parents divorced when she was just 4 years old, and her mother's house quickly became known as a gathering place for prominent Black artists passing through the South Side of Chicago. Years later, she would recall, "I had actual physical contact with all the living composers of African descent. My mother had a collector's nose for anything that was artistic, and a true woman of God, she lived the Sermon on the Mount. Her loaves and fish fed a multitude of pianists, singers, violinists, and composers, and those who were not in need of material food came for spiritual food." One of those composers who passed through the Bonds home was Florence Price. She was born in 1887 in Little Rock, Arkansas. A gifted musician, at the age of 14, she enrolled at New England Conservatory, where she earned degrees in both piano and organ performance. Soon after a return to her home state in 1912, she married Thomas J. Price, a well-known lawyer and founding member of the Arkansas chapter of the NAACP. Despite their prominent status in the community, this was the Deep South under the jurisdiction of Jim Crow.
Would that I were a jewel, a shattered jewel that all my shining brilliance might fall at thy feet.
For her family's safety, Price and her two children moved to Chicago in 1926. "Mother took her into our house," Margaret Bonds later remembered. "She had two children and she had trouble with a second marriage. She was very down and out, and Mother moved her into our house. Florence and I would sit in that kitchen, and I was trying to help her with the extractions of orchestration parts. When Florence had something that she had to do, every Black musician in Chicago who could write was either scratching mistakes or copying or extracting or doing something to get Florence's work done. On June 15, 1933, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra gave the world premiere of her Symphony No. 1 in E minor, the first symphony by a Black woman performed by a major U.S. orchestra. One critic noted that it is a work that speaks with its own message with restraint and yet with passion. Miss Price's symphony is worthy of a place in the regular symphonic repertory. Her debut as a symphonic composer was a success, and as her student, Bonds must have been proud. At the time, she was finishing up her studies at Northwestern University, where she studied piano and vocal composition. But she was also confronted with whites-only discrimination. During this period, she sought refuge in Black art. Years later, she recalled, "In a basement of the Evanston Public Library, I found the works of a poet named Langston Hughes. I was intrigued by his first published poem, The Negro Speaks of Rivers. I myself had never suffered any feelings of inferiority because I am a Negro, and I had always felt a strong identification with Africa. But now, here was a poem which said so many different things I had known and was not able to verbally express." Composed in 1936, The Negro Speaks of Rivers was one of her earliest settings of poetry by Langston Hughes. Around the time Bonds composed The Negro Speaks of Rivers, she and Hughes met in Chicago. They immediately became friends. In fact, as she remembered it, they were like brother and sister. A few years later, they became neighbors when she moved to Harlem, and Bonds dove right in, working as a copyist and a rehearsal pianist while continuing to compose. While she was busy working and getting settled into her new home, a teenage girl from St. Petersburg, Florida, was also about to leave the comforts of home for the promises of new opportunities up north. This was my maternal grandmother, Luttrell Cuffey.
Would that I were a flame, but one sharply
Luttrell's cousin Marie had already settled in Newark, New Jersey, and she encouraged her to take advantage of the job opportunities there. But Luttrell's breakaway from the familiarity of home was also motivated by personal reasons. When she was quite young, her father, George Hall, had joined his brothers up north and never returned, leaving his wife to take care of their two young girls. Having grown up without him in her life, as she got older, Luttrell's migration, many say, was really a daughter's journey to find her father.
Thank you.
With her husband Fred away in the service, Luttrell was settling into her new life in Newark, taking advantage of every opportunity to make something of herself. She attended beauty school, although she would never work a day in a hair salon. During World War II, she worked in an aluminum factory, and when that company folded up, she found a job in a coat factory. At one point, she was hired for domestic work before moving on to employment at a senior citizen home. Luttrell was always up to something, determined to make the most out of her situation. She was a woman about town. She became a district leader, responsible for getting the vote out in her geographic area. Church, politics, social events, no matter what it was, you could be sure Luttrell was at the center of it all. With the two of them working, Fred and Luttrell were soon able to save enough money to buy a two-family home. Luttrell then sent for her mother, Grandma Jessie, who helped raise their only child, my mother. She was born in 1953, the same year that Florence Price passed away. 1 year later, Brown versus Board of Education found that segregated schools were inherently unequal. The decade would be marked by a series of precipitous events that fueled the growing movement for civil rights. In 1959, Margaret Bonds responded with Three Dream Portraits, one of her most direct and poignant settings of three poems by Langston Hughes. I first came across the music of Margaret Bonds at the beginning of my studies as a doctoral student. I was immediately drawn to how she composed music with a message of uplift. But the further along I went in academia, the harder it became to be the only one. And so retelling her story was out of necessity for me. It was through learning about Bonds that I came to discover Florence Price. Fiercely independent, these women composed with conviction, and their accomplishments during the dawn and height of the civil rights movement remain astounding. It has been a privilege to share with you the lives and works of these dynamic women, and so I encourage you to think about those women in your life, past or present, whose legacies live and breathe through you and your every being. As Margaret Bonds once wrote to Langston Hughes, carry this little light with you in your travels. With love and all things music, yours truly, Ashley Jackson.